So we're talking about prayer. When we talk about prayer, a lot of thoughts and emotions and feelings come up. So I just want to make you think what I'm thinking here. When I say we're going to talk about prayer today, do you get all excited? Do you say, oh boy, I can't hardly wait. This is really, really, really going to be good. Is that kind of what you think when you, or do you kind of say, oh man. And so what I thought it would be really good today, because thought of prayer really brings up negative thoughts, I thought we'd list about 12 things and be really straight and really, really honest about some feelings and thoughts that we really have about prayer. So let's take a look at these things that we got here. The 12 things, please. Okay. Number one, how about boring? Does anybody think that when I say you were going to talk about prayer today, you say, oh man, boring? Not again. You know, why do it? Not only why do we, should we pray, but why teach it? We're not going to do it anyway, so why spend time doing it, right? What good is prayer? You know, does it do any good? It's time consuming and unproductive. You ever feel like that? That there are other things that you know, you feel like you need to be doing, and we use the excuse, you know, I don't have time, but that's not true. We always make time for what we want to do. And number six, it says, I've got more productive things to do. Right? You know, there's other things that I really want to be doing. Number seven, prayer is frustrating. You ever feel frustrated about prayer? You know, you just pray and pray and pray, and it just doesn't seem like anything really happens. I feel guilty for not praying. So, you know, that's kind of how it goes, isn't it? We don't pray, and then we feel guilty because we didn't pray. Do I pray correctly? I think sometimes we think that. Am I doing it right? Am I saying Jesus right? Or, you know, what's going, where am I missing it? I'm doing something evidently wrong. And when God doesn't do what I told him to do, it messes with my faith, right? Isn't that how, we might not say it that way, but we're telling God what he's going to do, and, you know, and we expect him to do it. And he does, when he doesn't do it, it just gets us upset. And number 11, you know, we dread it. And then number 12, God's in control, and he's going to do what he wants to do anyway, so why pray? Isn't that pretty honest, though? I mean, isn't that kind of how we think about prayer? So Jesus is going to help us today, isn't that okay? How many of you relate to at least one of those and probably all of those? And yeah, me too. Do you know anybody that does the Christian prayer thing really, really well? I mean, they pray like they ought to every day, and you know, they spend this quality time day and night and praying. And see, I don't. I don't. I'm a pastor, and you know, and I don't do it, but God's going to help us today. Jesus is going to help us today. Good. Now, context is always important when you're studying the scriptures, and it gives us a springboard into what we're really going to be looking at today. So let me set up the context for you. As you recall, last time, the Pharisees had come to Jesus and asked Jesus, when was the kingdom coming? And what was the reply? Where is the kingdom? Within you. Right. Okay. So he got them straightened on that. Then he got his guys off to the side. He says, now let me show you here the separation between the kingdom of God and the days of the Son of Man. They're different. And so he begins to explain those to those. And as you recall, the days of the Son of Man relate to the days of Lot and relate to the days of Noah, judgment and bad stuff happening, right? And we saw that was going to be in their generation. So that stuff was going to happen to them. So he's telling them about the days of the Son of Man. Now what I wanted to do, because we're changing chapters, we're going from chapter 17 to chapter 18, but we're really not changing context. And I think it's so important that we see how this flows out and how this rolls out. So what I want to do is I want to read the last verse in chapter 17 and the very first verse in chapter 18 to show you how this springboards into it. So Luke 17:35 says this. Two women will be grinding grain together, and one will be taken. That's the rapture, right? No? Okay. And one will be taken. Why did I say that? And one will be taken and the other left. Where, Lord? And this is what the disciples, they asked. This is what they asked. And he replied, where there is a dead body, there the vultures will gather. Then Jesus told his disciples. So the then is the very first word in chapter 18. What I'm wanting you to see is this is on the very heels of, and immediately after Jesus talks about the days of the Son of Man. Then, he says, then Jesus told his disciples a parable to show them that they should always pray and not give up. And the King James, of course, says faint. So what Jesus is doing here is he's telling them, guys, it's going to be bad. The Son of Man is going to suffer many things. That's right around the corner. But also in your future is going to come some horrible, horrific stuff. And you need to be praying. I want to say it now, and I want to say it a couple of times as we progress through it. I kind of see it this way. God's going to be sending some text messages. And if you're not checking your text, you're going to miss some important information. And what I first off want us to see today is one aspect of prayer is helping us understand what's around the corner and what's us understand what's in our future. Because we can't see it unless you're getting text messages from God. Now, he immediately tells them why he's telling them this parable. And it's so that we won't give up. We will keep on praying and we won't give up and we won't faint. Now, I want you to see this word in the Greek that's translated give up. It's a very interesting word, and it really surmises all those 12 things that we earlier listed. It's a ikaio, and what it means is to be utterly spiritless. Now, let's think about that just a second. What if you were physically utterly spiritless? What would that mean? You're dead. Without the spirit, there's no body. There's nothing in there, right? And so when he's saying this, you're dead to prayer. It doesn't mean it. It's just lifeless. He goes on. It's to be wearied out. You got nothing left to get weary. It's all gone. You left it all out there. Exhausted. So what Jesus is letting us know here is that there are times when this is going to happen. And what I really, really, really like about this parable is that Jesus tells us that he understands that there's going to be times in our lives when we're going to be utterly spiritless when it comes to prayer. That we're going to give up on it. That we're going to be wearied out of it. That we're going to be exhausted. We're not going to want to do it. And I like that he says that. But what he also says here in this parable is he wants us to understand, but if at those times, at those times when you get so wearied out with it, when you get so utterly spiritless, when you get so exhausted with it, if you push through right then, if that's when you will push through and you'll get it going again and you'll pray again, he says, listen, it'll work. It's going to work justice in your life. And here's the thing. It's going to quicken up. It's going to bring it faster. Now, this is what I want us to kind of get today. This is what I'm really wanting us to say. Because there's going to be times in your life, in my life, in every one of our lives that we're just going to quit. We're just not going to pray. We're not going to take time to pray. We don't see any sense in praying. We don't understand it. What I've been praying about is not working. And there's going to be times when that. But Jesus says, no. What you got to understand is this is how prayer works. That what you got to do is you got to push through. That's when you got to push. That's when you got to get through that thing. Because this is how prayer works. And if you'll do it, you're going to speed up the process. You're going to quicken it up, and you're going to bring justice into your life. So this is what we're going to be talking about today. Now, so what is prayer? Now I know you know what prayer is, but I want to just take a second here and talk about it. What is prayer? Prayer is inclusive of, but not exclusive of. Everything, other things as well. It's inclusive of our needs and our requests that we be made known unto God. It is that. But it's far more than that. And I think that what frustrates us sometimes is we give our prayer list, you know, our Santa Claus list, and we hang the phone up. You know, we don't really communicate with him like he wants us to. For example, well, I'll give you a couple of things that I've learned about prayer. One thing that prayer does for me is bring clarity. Now, for example, let me use this as an example. I'll be back in my study, and I'll be preparing for a sermon or studying the scriptures, and I'll hit one that I just can't get. I don't understand it. And I know there's more there. I know there's something I'm not getting, you know, and I need clarity on it. So I'll stand up, and this time of the year usually, and you know, and even when it's really hot summer, I'll walk in my study, and I'll start praying about it. if it's where I can, I'll come in here and walk and I'll journal and a clarity will eventually come. It's like the text message comes, you know, and I get it. Okay, I see that now. Yeah, why didn't I see that before? And it becomes so clear. And a lot of the things that I share with you, including this particular lesson, a lot of the things that I share with you that are a little deeper level than you may hear other places or other things, comes at that specific time. Now, the reason I'm saying that, there's going to be times in your life where things just aren't clear. You're going to be confused. You're going to be cloudy. I don't understand. Well, pray. And just say, I don't get it, Lord. You know, help me. And don't hang the phone up. You know, really, journal some or write some things down. But take a few minutes, and I promise you, you're going to get some clarity that you didn't have when you began. Another thing that I've learned about prayer is an aspect of thanksgiving. I love it when I'm praying. And I just kick into thanksgiving. I thank him for my wife. I thank him for my family. I thank him for my children, my grandchildren. I thank him for our church. I thank him for you. I thank him for my friends. I thank him for my truck. I thank him for my boat. I thank him for my house. I thank him. It's just endless. It's endless. And what that does for me is let me see how God has blessed my life. I can be all down and in the dumps and depressed, but when I start thanking God and I start evaluating my life and how amazing it is, I'm saying, whoa, thank you, Jesus. And so it's an amazing time of thanksgiving. So it brings clarity and it brings an amazing opportunity to see how blessed we are of God. But here's the one that hooks up with what we're talking about today and one that I really, really enjoy. When I'm praying and something comes up that I had not prepared or planned on praying about or communicating about. And that's what prayer is it's more than talking to God, it's communicating with God. And when I'm communicating with him in this manner and something comes up, I really tune up. I really tune in because now I've got something he wants to communicate with me about. I wasn't planning on this. But he wants to communicate with me about something because there's something around the corner. There's something down the road. There's something in my future that I can't see coming, but he can. And he wants to send me a text message. And he wants to get me some clarity on these situations. That alone should be enough reason for us to want to pray, shouldn't it? But I'm telling you, this is what happens in our prayer times. When we pray like this, these are the things that happen to us. And another thing that you need to know about prayer is that, you know, you don't have to go to school to learn how to pray. You know, it's not like you got to go to to boot camp. You know, are we going to prayer boot camp this week? No, that's not what we do. Yeah, Jesus gave us some specific things that we need to pray about. You know, we need to pray about hallowed is your name. Not him, because he's not on this big ego trip. God's not. But we need to remind ourselves how massive God is. How amazing he is and how he runs this whole universe. And I'm getting to communicate with him. And that's pretty awesome. When you start thinking about it like that, you know, that kind of puts a different perspective on it. And then he wants to talk about his kingdom. Of course, he wants to talk about his will being accomplished in your life and in the earth. He wants to talk about your needs and your requests. He wants to talk about that. But I've learned about a lot about that, that a lot of times if I'll spend time talking to him about what I think I need, I learn I really don't need it. In fact, I could just save that money usually and just use it for something else that would be better. He wants to talk about forgiveness. And that's extremely important, am I right? Because he can't forgive you unless you forgive. And the only way I know to work forgiveness is through prayer. And another thing that he wants to talk to you about is temptation. So these are things that he wants to talk about. Because you will never overcome temptation unless you pray. So those are some things that we should talk about, but it's just communicating like with dad, you know, it's communicating like with mom, it's communicating like with your best friend, you know, and that's what prayer is. But then there are these times when dad's not paying attention. This is what I feel. You're not listening. You know, are you there? You don't care, you know, and there are those times, and when those times come, this is what Jesus is telling us, when those times come, when it wears you out, when you are dead in prayer, when you are exhausted in this thing, that's when, if you push through, you'll get some understanding, and you'll start understanding some justice, and you'll start speeding up the process of it coming and it happening for you in your life. So these are the things. Now, in the Bible, there's really not a book about prayer. The closest thing that we have in the Bible about a book about prayer is the book of Psalms. But it's amazing how many times and the huge theme that what we're talking about here is in Psalms. You know, where are you, God? Are you listening? Do you pay attention? Or do you care? It's amazing the theme, how huge a theme that is in Psalms. So I want to show you some, and this is minimal to what's there. I mean, it's 150 Psalms, basically of prayers that are written saying to God. That's what Psalms are. So I just want to show you some, the major theme that this is. So put them up for me, and let's take a look at this. I know they're back there. Here we go. I can't read back there. Psalms 10:1. Why, O Lord, do you stand far off? Why do you hide yourselves from me in times of trouble? You ever feel like that? You know, you're in trouble. Hey, God, I'm in trouble here. Little help over here. Where are you? You ever feel like that? Yeah. And these are David and mighty men of God who are feeling what you and I feel, the same 12 things that we talked about earlier. Psalm 22:1. This is Jesus. Jesus said this on the cross, quoting David. My God, why have you forsaken me? Why are you so far from saving me? So far from the words of my groaning? Jesus, where are you? Do you know what's happening here? You know? But next one. Psalm 42:9. I say to God, my rock, why have you forgotten me? Why must I go about mourning, oppressed by my enemy? You know, isn't that amazing? You know, you get depressed and you don't want to pray. And man, that's really struggling when you have to pray and you're depressed. And he says, where are you, Lord? Next one. Psalm 42:3. My tears have been my food. Now watch this. My tears have been my food day and night. While men, did I read the other one? My tears have been my food day and night, while men say to me all day long, where is your God? You're testifying to people and you're telling them how amazing God is and how God's worked with you and helped you through all these situations. And then they see you run up against a wall. Where is your God? Uh-huh. Yeah. All right, next one. Psalms 4:1. Answer me. Answer me when I call you. Oh, my righteous God. I see sarcasm there, you know. Answer me when I call you, O my righteous God. Give me relief from my distress. Be merciful to me and hear my prayer. And the last one, 17:6. I call on you. And then he waits and he says, give ear to me and hear my prayer. Is anybody out there? Do you care? Where are you? And I just scratched the surface on this. It's all over the book of Psalms. It's all over you. It's all over me. It's all over all those who follow God. And so Jesus is wanting to help us here a little bit and understand some issues here that you and I and all of us are going to face, right? Now, sometimes it's the total opposite, that your prayer comes like immediately. I mean, I'll pray things and before I get out the door, it's happened. I'll pray for somebody, I'll put hands on them, and I'll watch a miracle right there in front of me. I mean, I've done that. But usually, it's not that way. Usually, it takes persistence and consistency in prayer. And this is what we're talking about here. And I believe what Jesus is saying to these guys, his disciples here, what he's saying to you, listen guys, it's going to get bad. Just around the corner, we're going to go through some bad stuff. I am going to be crucified. It's going to get bad. But down in your future, it's going to get really, really bad. In your future, you're going to go through tribulation. In your future, it's going to be bad on you. It's going to be bad on your family. It's going to be bad on your children. It's going to be bad on your friends. It's going to be bad on everybody you know. It's going to be bad on this whole nation. And you better go check your text messages. I got some important things I want to tell you, and you better pray. So, let's read it. Here is the parable. Chapter 18, verse 2. He, Jesus, said, in a certain town, There was a judge who, now this judge guy, he's this arrogant guy. He's like the co-star of the parable, you know? He's this arrogant guy, a hideous human being, who never feared God, who neither feared God, nor cared about people, cared about men. And there was a widow, and she's the star. She's the person to whom we should relate. And there was a widow in that town who kept coming to him with the plea, "Grant me justice against my adversary." And for some time, he refused, but finally, he said to himself, "Even though I don't fear God or care about men, yet because this widow keeps bothering me, I will see that she gets everything she asked for. She gets justice. So that she won't eventually wear me out. Wear me out with her coming." And the Lord said, "Listen, listen, listen. Listen to what the unjust judge says. Get it? You know, get the principle. Read between the lines. Understand this. Get your head wrapped around it. Get with it. Unjust judge says, and will not God bring about justice for his chosen ones who cry out to him day and night, persistent, consistent? Will he keep putting them off?" Of course, the obvious answer is no. "I tell you, he will see that they get justice. And quickly." Let me say it. When we blend justice into our prayers, into our request, not just make it all about me, 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 but justice, it speeds up the process. Quickly. However, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth? Where did that come from? Well, that's exactly what he's talking about. It's sandwiched in between his teaching about the days of the Son of Man and here when he comes. Here's what he's talking about. And so he's talking about getting an idea about what's around the corner and getting an idea about what's in our future. So this is what Jesus is talking about in this aspect. Now, the first thing is this widow. In that society, in every society, even in our society, a widow is one of the most vulnerable and helpless people, and is still the target of con artists. In all societies, but especially in that society. You know, and they were the most vulnerable and most helpless of all people. And in that society, there was no infrastructure. There was no insurance policy to cash in. There was no Social Security. There was no Medicare, Medicaid. There was no welfare. There was no infrastructure. She was on her own. And even if she had some property, it would revert back to her husband's oldest relative, male relative. And that's where it would go. It wouldn't stay with her unless she had a son. Now, if she had a son, but the parable doesn't even talk about a son, but unless she had a son, she lost everything. And in those times, they didn't have public defenders, you know, that they could assign her and say, "Okay, he's going to defend you." No, they didn't have that. And even if they did, it would be wrong for her, because she's a woman, to even go to the public, to the judge herself and say, "Hey, here's what's going on. You've got to give me justice." But that didn't stop this gal. Now, she's a feisty little thing, isn't she? And she's going consistently, and she's badgering him and beating him, and you know, and she's getting what she wants. She's staying after him. And this is who we're supposed to be in this parable, as we parabole it and we lay alongside of it and find ourselves in it. And there's this judge. He's the co-star. And he's a hideous human being. He has sided with her adversary and not bringing her justice. He doesn't care about her. He could not care less about her. He could not care less about her situation. He's not afraid of God. He's not afraid of people. He has no compassion for anybody. He's a hideous human being. He is scum. And his power and authority is amplified in his position as a judge, so he just runs rampant. The only thing he cares about is himself. So these are the characters, and what we're supposed to be in this parable is this widow. But you know what? And maybe you relate to it too. Do you know any Christians, people who say they're Christians, who are more like the unjust judge than the widow? People who run around judging everything and anything and taking sides with the adversary. People they shouldn't take sides with, and the adversary, the enemy. You know anybody, you know, that calls himself a Christian, but they use vulnerable people? They don't fear God. They have no compassion for people. No people like that. Are you any way like that? Because here's what happens. God's gonna get you to tap out. God's gonna get you to submit. And he's gonna send some little widow woman. And he's gonna beat you up with her. And and if you don't submit, and if you don't allow this to change you, he'll knock you out. You'll tap out when God decides for you to change, if he has to use a little widow woman. So these are the kinds of things that we're looking at in this parable here, right? So Jesus takes us to the place in the parable where we have come to, we're helpless, we're vulnerable, we have used all of our resources up. We have no place else to go. There's nothing else that we can do. We've done everything that we know how to do. We've extended ourselves no further, and we're wore out. We're just tired. We're exhausted spiritually. You know, we're wearied out. We're dead, as it were. We're exhausted in this prayer thing. But Jesus says, this is when you got to push through. This is when you got to push, because if you push through, you're going to get justice. And you're going to speed up the process. So this is where he brings us. So let's read now the verses 4 and 5, maybe 6, 4 and 5. It says, for some time he refused, but finally he said to himself. Now I want to pause there just a second, so take that down. How many of you talk to yourself? I do all the time. And I found out, the older I get, the more I do it. And I think it could be a senile thing, but I really think that I've just learned the value of it. It changes lives. Yeah. And I don't only talk, I answer myself. You know, I mean, I was thinking about it, you know, in the 15th chapter with a prodigal son, he came to his senses. He'd been talking to himself and it changed his life. And then in the 16th chapter of Luke, we talked about there, the unjust manager. And he said to himself, I know what I'll do. I'll fix my future. And it changed his life. And so I do this. And, you know, Judy and I'll be only 5 or 6 feet apart and sitting in a living room, nobody there but us. And I'll just start talking. And she used to ask me, she said, are you talking to me? And I said, no, I'm just talking to myself. She doesn't even ask me anymore. She just knows that it's just what I do. And I'll do this constantly. The reason I'm saying this to you is because there's such a power. And when you do this, because it changed this guy. It changed the whole situation. He was getting all beat up until he talked to himself. And said, I'm changing this thing, man. I'm going to give her justice. And when you talk to yourself, you're amazed sometimes of the answers that you give yourself. And it actually, to me, is a type of prayer. Because I'll end up talking to God while I'm talking to myself. And so I think this is so important that we get this. Okay. So, but what my main point here is that this widow woman had this old mean judge talking to himself. I mean, she was driving him batty. She was really had him talking to himself. And he didn't care about anybody but himself. But she had him tapping out. Now let me read the rest of the verse here to you. Okay, I'll read the whole thing. For some time he refused, but finally he said to himself, even though I do not fear God or care about men, yet because this widow keeps bothering me, I will see that she gets justice so that she won't eventually wear me out with her coming. Now, I want to show you this word in the Greek here it's wear me out. It's three words in the English language, but it's only one in the Greek word. It's hupapiedzo. Hupapiedzo. Now, if you've got children, you understand hupapiedzo. What it means is meaning to beat black and blue. Now, I don't mean you beating your children black and blue. I mean they're beating you up. Jesus is using a hyperbole here. He's making an exaggeration. So he's saying, and this woman's not coming to him beating him up, meaning to beat black and blue, to smite so as to chase, to cause bruise like a boxer. You know, cage fighter kind of thing. To beat one out is what it means. And what he's saying is, this woman's beaten me to death. And Jesus is exaggerating it so we'll understand it. But if you've got children, you already understand it. You understand. They'll cry and scream and pitch fits, and they'll beat you down until you finally say, okay, okay. And this is the thought here. And the reason that I'm using the children is because I think that sometimes that even though God doesn't want us to have something and it's not good for us, but because we just keep on and keep on and keep on because He loves us so much, sometimes He'll let us do it. So I see this aspect of it. And so Jesus uses this hyperbole in this situation. And then verse 6, let's look at it. And the Lord said, listen to what the unjust judge says. Get your head wrapped around this. Here's the key. Read between the lines. Get the principle. And will not God bring about what? Justice. For His chosen ones. Now, all through the Scriptures, it talks about God choosing us. We didn't choose Him. He chose us, right? All through the Scriptures, he always is saying, He chose you. And because He chose you, Jesus says, God's going to help you. God wants to give you what you need to have. And sometimes what you just want. For His chosen ones who cry out to Him day and night, there's the persistence and consistent thing. Will He keep putting them off? And the obvious answer is, of course, no. And then He says, I tell you, He will see that they get justice. Not all their requests and not all their prayers answered, but they're going to get justice. Now, here's where I've got to try to work. What justice is may not be what I prayed. It may not be what I want, but justice works for me better than what I prayed and better than what I want. Justice works for me and for my good and for everybody that's included in what I'm asking for. Justice is better than my prayers being answered like I want them. He will work justice, and then He says what? And quickly. Quickly. When I understand the justice aspect, I speed up the process of prayer. And it's at those times when I push through, it's at those times when I'm wearied out, it's at those times when I'm spiritually dead, it's at those times when I'm exhausted, if I will just push through, and I'll be able to find justice, that's when God's really going to be able to move in my life. Now, I want to make sure that we say this, because Jesus isn't here comparing God to this unjust, hideous person, unjust judge. He's not doing that. In fact, He's showing the contrast of God and this hideous person. What He's saying here is if this guy who is so unjust and doesn't care about man, doesn't care about the woman, doesn't care about the widow, doesn't fear God, but if He'll bring justice, how much more will God, your Heavenly Father, bring you justice? Because He chose you. Because He loves you. And Jesus is setting the contrast here. He wants us to understand He wants to bring us what we want. But you got to trust Him. And you got to let Him do it in justice. Because it could be bad for you if you just got everything you wanted. Maybe the best way I can say this, there's this delay thing that we go through in prayer. And every one of us go through it. It's this delay thing. And the best way I can probably bring it and make us understand it. In your life, ask yourself this question. Talk to yourself here a minute. Ask yourself this question. Which times in your life has caused you to become a better person? Which times in your life has caused you to become the person that you want to be? Is it the easy times? It's like, you know, you're born with a silver spoon in your mouth. It's the easy times when you get everything you want. You just pray and it just happens. Or when there's times of resistance, there's more difficult times where you got to push through. It's like a weightlifter, you know, you have that resistance against you. Which one of those times has developed you into the person more like you want to be? The easy times or the more difficult times? For me, it's been the more difficult times. You see, because when I hit that brick wall and I don't understand and I'm praying and I don't get it and I don't understand what's going on in my life, when I hit that brick wall, it causes me to look at me. And when I look at me, I find that I'm not who I thought I was. And when I look at me, I find out that I'm not becoming what I need to become. And it's in those difficult times that forms my character. It's those difficult times when I don't get everything so easy. It's in those difficult times that I become a better person. And then there's those times in prayer, in the delay times, we think they are, that we have to remember what the prophet Garth Brooks said. Sometimes I thank God for unanswered prayers. How many of us look back and we see where had we gotten what we wanted, it would have destroyed us. There would have been no justice in it. Right? I look back at some sweeties back then. You know, and now I thank God for unanswered prayers. And I know you all do similar things, you know, there's that. And so we read in Romans chapter 8 and verse 28. You hear this a lot around here. The Apostle Paul says, and we know. Do we? And we should know. We say we know, but we really don't know this. And we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love Him. Do you believe that? I know you believe it, but can you trust it? Can you trust that this is justice? For those who love Him and have been called according to His purpose, this is true or this isn't true. And we've got to learn how in our prayer life to include justice, not just what I want. Because when I get justice involved in it, I'm speeding up the process of what's really going to be happening in my life. Jesus asked, don't you guys hear what the unjust judge is saying? Can't you hear it? Can't you get your heads wrapped around it? Don't you understand what's going on here? He says, because if you don't understand this, you're not going to understand prayer. See, if you don't understand that justice is what prayer is about, it's not just about what you want. It's about clarity in life. It's about knowing what's coming around the corner. It's about thanksgiving to God. Yeah, I want to know what you want. I want to know those things. But when we're able to bring justice into it, and he says, don't you know if you stay consistent and persistent in your prayer life, that you're going to come out of this thing very, very well. Two things that I want us to make sure that we get out of this lesson today. Number one is we add quickness to our prayers being answered if we'll pray with justice. Instead of just what I want, if we'll put justice into the thing and see it's more about what God wants. Because He's going to bring justice. And the second thing that I want us to make sure that we see is prayer is justice. It's not just getting what I prayed for in the manner I prayed for it and in the way I imagined it happening. Prayer is about justice. And when we understand that, we're gonna get it. And then Jesus winds it up saying this. In verse 8. I tell you, He will see that they get justice and quickly. However, when the Son of Man, when who? Son of Man comes, will He find faith on the earth? That just seems out of context. Of course, it's not. It just seems to us that it is because we got this thing of Him coming. It's going to be at the end of time and all that stuff. But when He comes, He says, is He going to find faith on the end of the earth? Is He going to find faith when He comes, when the Son of Man comes? All right, He's talking to His disciples here, and He's teaching them about this prayer aspect and staying tuned into God so you can get your text messages so God can communicate with you and you can understand some things. Now, as we saw last time, These guys were going to go through an extremely difficult time. In the book of Matthew, in chapter 23, right at the end, it says at the very end of chapter 23, all these things shall happen to this generation. And then in the end of chapter, not at the end of chapter 24, but about verse 32, 36 of chapter 24 of Matthew, says all these things will happen, come upon this generation, right? So we've got all of this space in here where he's talking about what's going to happen to this generation. And then right in the middle of it, in chapter 24, verse 21, he says, and great tribulation such as never has before happened will come. Great tribulation. That's in the King James Version. In your Bible, if you've got anything else other than the King James Version, it doesn't say great tribulation. It'll say tough times or something. You know, it'll mean that, but it's great tribulation. So these guys were going to go through, in that generation, great tribulation. And so what Jesus is saying, guys, is listen, this is going to be bad. It's going to be really bad. And you really need to stay tuned in to God. You need to stay tuned in to your text messages. You need to stay tuned in because here's what's going to happen. When I come, am I going to find that people think that what's happening to Jerusalem and to Judea and to Samaria and to Galilee, are they going to think that's justice? Are they going to believe that that's justice? Will I find faith when the Son of Man comes? Will he find faith? Will they really think that's justice? In your times and in my times in life, when we go through our times of great tribulation, when he comes, does he find faith? When we go through our times, do we see that God's justice is faith? Do we have faith in his justice? Here's where we drop the ball. We make prayers and they don't happen. Somebody dies. Something doesn't happen that we're praying about. When he comes, is what didn't happen justice? When Jesus comes into our life, what we've got to see, good, bad, he's working it all together. But it's about justice. It's not the way I wanted it. It's not the way I had it imagined. It's not the way I prayed it. But when he comes, in me, he's going to find faith. Because to me, whatever happens, after I've prayed about it, and I've trusted God about it, and I've been consistent and persistent, and it doesn't work out the way I thought it would, it's still God bringing justice. I don't understand it, but that's not what matters. I just know that all things are working together for our good. So when God comes into your life, when you're going through your great times of tribulation, when you're praying this and praying that, and it doesn't work out the way you thought it was, does he find faith? Is there faith in his justice? Let's pray.